So since we may be going, we have Jim Webb at this end.
And, hi, Jim.
And on mute is Jonathan Wittes from Anchorage. He was part of our...
Hey, Jonathan.
He's still on mute, so he'll hear you, though. But anyway, he was part of our gang, especially our dream group in Fairbanks 25 years ago. For a long time.
Have you caught him up to speed on what's happened since then?
Oh, heavens no. He was down here on vacation and he had enough of me in a couple of conversations, and I didn't want to ruin his vacation completely. I ruined Jim and Deborah's vacation last night. And so then Jonathan ran out of the island to get home back to Anchorage. Get the hell out of here.
I wonder if he sure seems like old times.
Well, you know, at least on the phone here, old he can just hang up quietly. No one will know. I don't know what happened. I don't know. It just went blank. Where'd you guys go?
Yeah. That may happen.
I'm here in August.
Well, okay, I guess we're getting near to get started, but here is the beginning of this thing. What the hell do you guys want to talk about tonight?
You want to start?
Huh?
Are you starting?
You ready to start?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Are you starting?
Yes. Okay, we start.
Good morning.
So, hello, Simone. Jonathan, that strange...
Hey, Archer.
That strange voice there, Jonathan, is... Simone, she's calling us in from Switzerland.
At 5 a.m. in the morning.
At 5 a.m. in the morning.
No, it's 6. We changed to summertime.
You're 6 o'clock now? You're just 12 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are we going?
Yes.
Oh, we got pizza cooking at this end, so... Miss M rushed by and I didn't know where we were going. Okay, well, what the hell you want to talk about?
What do we want to talk about?
See how receptive this group
about.
Is?
That's the question.
Well, you know, I mean, last week we couldn't even agree on a word. And we couldn't agree on an immortal without your kicking your brain into immortality, or so. I said, well, gee, I guess we don't want to talk about that. If we can't agree on a word, we sure as hell can't agree on what an immortal being might be. I never said an immortal being had anything to do with immortality. So, what else do you want to talk about? We have this listed as miscellaneous. Nobody's got any suggestion?
Well, I'm thinking. I don't have one for you yet.
Well, okay, let's try something else. What to you is a belief?
A belief to me is something that is a thought or a concept that I live my life by as though it is absolutely so.
Well, I know, Andrew, now you're not going to understand this, but
okay.
You changed the subject 4 times. Now, what?
Yeah, what? I totally didn't get that. I changed the subject 4 times?
Yes, listen very carefully. When you say to me that a belief is a thought, a concept, or whatever else you said,
something you live by.
When you say a belief is a thought, you've changed the conversation from belief, the subject from belief to thought. Then you change it to the subject to talk about a concept. This is what I constantly complain about. So, what answer do you want to give me in terms of a belief?
Yeah, that's tough. Because a belief is an intangible to me, so I...
So then all you do is you change it from a belief to a thought to a concept to a something, and you just change the subject and haven't said anything about belief. The fact is, I don't know whether you're talking about a thought or a concept or what.
Truly so. I thought of I thought of belief as being like a label that I put on a collection of thoughts.
Okay. Even if you go with that, that's a hell of a sight better answer, simply because you said a belief is a collection, is a label that I put onto a collection of thoughts. You've moved thoughts from the subject to the object.
Okay.
This is what I'm constantly complaining about, that when you get through answering or stop talking, I don't know what you've said.
Okay.
You want to try anything?
Somebody's really banging my background there.
No, it's probably not Jonathan, because he went on mute.
Can you hear me?
Hilo?
Susan, is that you, Hilo? Susan? Is that you making all that noise?
Yeah, I thought I was muted.
Okay, well, come in.
You asked me, what is a belief?
Yes, what is a belief?
Yep.
And do you know what a synonym dictionary is? If you look up under belief and it says a thought, a concept, or whatever, aren't each of those words not a belief itself, but a synonym for belief? So I don't really know what you're talking about.
That's very interesting. Okay.
So, a belief is something that occurs in the brain, or?
Okay, that's fine. That certainly doesn't tell me anything. Headaches occur in the brain. Does that mean then that beliefs are headaches?
Yep, I think they are.
That's kind of like saying that all fire engines are red and all Russians are red, so all Russians are fire engines.
Okay. Or a belief is memory.
You just changed the subject.
I know.
Well, you didn't tell.
How can I speak about belief without ever using other words?
I don't say you. It's how you use the other words. You're using the other words as a substitute, and you think that I really believe that if you use memory, throw it out there, that I understand what you're talking about. You're wrong.
How would we describe a belief?
Yeah, that's actually my question.
Well, let me put it this way. My dictionary, one of my many, many, many dictionaries, the first definition of a belief is a state or habit of mind. That's definition number one of belief.
Hey, Raj, would you say that changed the subject?
What it's defining it in a sense, it's defining it. You just threw out one word. a thought, a concept, and then I'm supposed to attach words to a thought, a concept in that regard. Whereas what I said, a belief is a state or habit of mind. I attached it to the word belief and never took it away.
Okay, I see.
It's just when you sprinkle out words and you don't make the connection, then you have in fact merely only changed the subject.
Right. I see.
So go with your question.
How do you describe a belief?
If there's any other way. This is definition number one. It's really only defined as a habit of mind. So your belief is no more other than a habit of mind. Is that okay? If you think it's okay, then you understand that you're living only... Did you put the pizza in? Did you know what time you put it in?
Mm-hmm. Yep. 10 to 7, we'll look at it.
No, whatever. I in the midst of this, I got to tell you, the pizza was more important than the conversation.
He believes it's more important.
Yeah.
Well, habit, at least is an action...
Huh?
Habit, at least, is an action.
Yeah, but a habit of mind is not an action.
Not an action?
Not an action in the nature that we nearly usually refer to in that regard, I don't
think. Yeah. But it does give you an idea of repeating.
Yeah, but the point is, we think our beliefs are important, and we live by and fall by our beliefs. They're only habits. They're meaningless.
But whatever they are, we know we're going to repeat it.
Most likely.
If we act upon belief in that way, it's likely to repeat.
Well, does anybody want to comment on this? What does it take for you to say, well, glory be, and I thought it was important to live my beliefs and etc., and all I'm doing is living by habit, among other things. There are other definitions. There's nothing in that definition that implies truth, reality, understanding, awareness, or nothing. It's just the same goddamn habit of mind.
Right. But hang on a sec.
What?
Hang on a second. I think habit, perhaps, is a lifesaver at times. I have a belief, a habit, that 99.99999% of the time, cars on the other side of the road will stay on the other side of the road. That's a belief. There's no fact about it. There's no truth about that. I believe that, and it allows me to function in a complex society.
Anyway, I don't necessarily disagree with you at all, Pat. We can set up an example to justify our beliefs, but when you get all through, if you do that, then your life is merely a habit. Your life built on beliefs is merely a habit of minding.
And the suggestion perhaps then is that we can change any one of them, but we will live by habit of minding.
Of course. That's what I'm trying to say. There are no sacred beliefs if they're really only habit of minding. There are other third and fourth definitions which really continue, like saying, you believe what other people believe, and it's still just a habit of minding, and it has no real, apparently, validity other than, well, that's what I do.
It's a state.
Huh?
It's a state.
A state or habit of mind.
And a state is whether if it's repeated or static, it really is unchanging.
So there you are.
So you really haven't taken any action other than repeating the same old stuff.
That's right. And that's been, that goes back to last Monday. I can't use the word being an immortal, no matter how I give you a different definition. You believe only the definition in terms of immortality. So why should I bother talking much about an immortal being or your being an immortal, simply because your habit of minding is that means I live forever, and that's not what I'm saying. And when Jim and I were talking the other day, oh, by the way, Jonathan, just for your benefit, while we were sitting out on the lanai at the Pacific, watching the sun go down and the gentle breezes blowing and the surf coming in and rolling up on the lava, we were talking about how do you get people to change. If it's only a habit of mind and nothing more than that, why do you hang on to, I'm not going to let go of immortality. I want it. Give me some, like pizza. I'll take it with or without oregano.
Yeah, I think part of my problem was the pronoun you, that in a way where, I guess by language, habit we use all the time in talking about...
Andrew, may I ask you a question? I never use the pronoun you, so I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Are you kidding me?
Immortal.
I said immortality. I believe in immortality. I mimic that in that way. I don't recall in my last statement using the word you.
Oh, I know, but I'm sorry. So to clarify, when you said, like, I won't give up my belief of immortality, you know, as traditional language definition, I think the thing of it is by habit, when I think of the word you, I keep thinking of a person or an entity.
But you don't you understand that when you come in there, we're saying when you use the pronoun you. I didn't use the pronoun you, so I had no way to know what you were talking about.
Okay.
All right.
So my problem last week, every time I heard or used the pronoun you, I guess I clicked back into some, I guess it's, you know, continuing entity that I just get into that picture. But I thought you did a pretty good job last week of presenting an image of that, to get just to just cut to it, that each you supplants or replaces the prior you. Each moment replaces the prior moment. And I had an image of there's a me in this moment. Actually, I didn't have that until yesterday when you talked about it, but there is a me in this moment, but it won't be the me in the next moment.
How do you explain that? There is no illustration in your life, probably, that you can give me that explains or illustrates that every moment replaces, every ensuing moment replaces every prior moment.
Now that's a good point. That's definitely been one of my habits in talking about this. I didn't have another experience, or what I thought was my experience. So,
but is it possible the only reason you don't have the experience is you won't let go of your habitual thinking or believing to then possibly perceive the universe or life continuing in the way of each moment replaces the prior moment. My question to you is, then you can't talk to me about quantum physics at all. You are an absolute quantum physics denier.
I understand what you're saying, yeah, right.
Because Max Planck said in the 18 something or other, that all energy flows in quanta, not in a continuum. And you say, well, I understand that. And yet you don't believe then that that occurs relative to life, and you don't believe that it occurs relative to you. What you maintain is your old beliefs regardless, and you'll live and die by your old beliefs regardless, and those beliefs are not consistent in a quantum world and a natural world or an astronomical world, which doesn't make sense.
Raj, I completely agree that has been something I keep walking into and realizing too late that I'm back in my old habits.
But you won't let go of those for me to add anything. What you do is,
right,
your ears have old habits, so you manipulate what I say to hear what you habitually want to hear.
True that, because in my conversation with you on the phone yesterday, which I won't give you details, we went over exactly what you said on Monday, and I had not heard it until yesterday. True.
So, there you are. This is kind of why I said, okay, I guess we'll mention the concept that you are an immortal being, well, now and then, loosely. But I don't really want to get into, I don't really want to get into what is the significance of that, and where does that lead to, and then what might be on that, and what goes on after even that? Why should we go there?
Can I say something?
Sure. Although you're not really coming through very strongly, are you
consistently?
Yeah, are you hanging back?
I'm sorry.
It sounds like you're sitting on the toilet.
I keep hearing you guys cut out though.
Mm. Maybe it's the overall connection tonight.
Okay, right. I'll back up a little bit. See if this is better.
Well, everybody seems to be a little weak out there.
Okay. So I guess the first thing I wanted to say is I am very willing to consider a different understanding of myself and the universe and everything we were talking about last week. For what it's worth, I'll tell you I'm willing to say that. Second thing is, I did a little poll around here the other day, and Sally and I both thought that, you know, last week was, I mean, maybe these are very difficult, you know, concepts with our habitual beliefs, but we thought that, you know, we were making some pretty good understandings of some way we never thought of before. So I'd be interested in continuing any of that conversation.
Well, how could I possibly use the word or the term, one, here's several issues here. One, how could I possibly use the term immortal being, that you are an immortal being, and not mean in that you live or exist immortally? That's number question. If you can't you can or won't go there, we can't get started.
Okay. But what if you, what if we were to say that an immortal being is one that has an experience that they would say is like being an immortal?
What does that mean? What are you saying? You're using words. An experience like being an immortal, then you haven't told me what is that experience like being immortal.
That's a great question.
Of course, that's where we've been for 2 weeks.
Right. So it's the image I have is it's an embodied being with a body.
Wait. Do me a favor. Don't ever say to me the image I have. Tell me the image you have created.
All right, the image I've created.
Because I don't want you to stand around and say, "Dear Lord, give me an image."
Right, I understand.
I want to know from our words what image you have created. The point of that is that if you tell me I've created this image, I can't say you're wrong. You've created that image. That may not be the same image that I'm working with.
Right. Okay.
So you take responsibility in that regard.
Okay. The image I have created is I have a picture of like myself, an embodied being. The human is the male standing on the earth. Got a body, and a body, it's like this being has an experience of two lives at the same time.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Even Jim is frowning, so he must not have heard it as well either.
Okay. I said I have an image of a being like myself, a human being standing on the earth. That being has an experience of like living two lives simultaneously. One is a physical body that in time decomposes and dies and goes away. The other experience is of a self or a being that inhabits that or lives with or within that body that has an experience of some kind of memory before this physical life, and that is a very real reality and experience to that being, even in a body that decomposes and dies.
What if I say to you that in what you just did, that the universe allows you to then make up any image of an immortal being that you truly desire and be that and live that? Is that the image that you would truly desire?
Yes. I think so.
The error or problem in all of that is you haven't considered what the memories of that second individual would have.
You're right, I didn't talk about that.
Oh, well, then don't rush to say that's what you want if you haven't a concept of what those memories might be, number one, and number one self is creating or destroying or distorting those particular memories.
For clarity on what you're saying, is number one self the physical body self?
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
The mortal self.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the third question is, which of those two selves is the immortal self?
One's mortal, one's immortal.
Which is which?
The physical temporal body is mortal.
Well, wait a minute. If the physical temporal body is immortal, is mortal, and the other self is immortal, then whenever you are an immortal being, you're not embodied, and therefore you can't do anything. See, I've, in all of this, all these times, what I've said is, don't be too certain that you want to jump to a certain, this is the way it is, until you considered, let's call it, the consequences of this is the way it is. Would you like, in fact, to be an immortal mortal being that allows you then to live and be and express immortally however you want to be? All you've done is set physical and spiritual into conflict and screwed yourself. And my question is it possible for your body to die and yet you are an immortal mortal being?
I think so, yeah. How?
Well, how?
Think about it, let me catch up. Yeah, let me catch up to that.
An embodied immortal being. Is what you want to be.
I'm sorry, Jim, what was that?
No, I'm just asking, yeah. But embodied so that you can participate and have life and do things and etc. Because if you set as an immortal being in that regard, then all you've done is change immortal to an immortal spiritual being which has no participation in life. You want to, you are in life and God damn it, you want to participate in life.
You want to be embodied.
That's right. And you don't want to give that up. So the question is saying, is it possible at all for you to be an immortal embodied being? Because every other concept of immortality says no. What I'm trying to get you to understand is, it's possible, but you have to get your definition, you have to change your definition. You can't follow the language definition and either arrive at an understanding of that or even arrive at a way that that might be possible.
Yeah, you're bringing up some things that I guess at my first pass, I really didn't think of the ramifications or the implications of, so...
But the point is, in all of that, is it possible that your life today is an attempt for you to decide what immortal embodied being you'd be willing to be?
Well, my personal answer to that is, yeah, that makes a heck of a lot of sense to me.
Then, if there is, or that if life is all about deciding what embodied, immortal being you would be, then tell me how that might be possible. and maybe I can get you into, as I tried to do some other things, but that hasn't worked yet, but maybe you can get yourself into a whole different concept of immortality. And the reason for doing that is, like using the term memory, is so that then your whole concept of immortality changes. Because the concept of immortality in terms of religion, even if you could attain to that, puts the screws to you. And it isn't what you want. So that if
right,
you...
So I got a little lost in the words there. I kind of need you to tell me again what...
What the fuck do you want? How's that? That's as simple as I can make it.
What do I want?
You don't want to be a great, grand, spiritual, immortal being that has no participation with others or anything, but, well, you're a grand, a spiritual thing, or, as in Buddhist meditation, well, you're not anything, but you're everything. You don't want that either.
Right.
You want to be something, but you want to be a particular something. What if that is the nature of what is really going on? And all Buddhism is doing in that regard then, and religion both, is say, well, yeah, you're this condition or situation, and ain't it gonna be grand when you get there? And when you get there, the same guy's going to come around and say, I fooled ya.
Religion just wants you to shut up and not complain.
That's right. Now if you're dead and gone, we don't really give a shit. So, I think, Patrick, you got to jump in here.
Well, there is the... Clearly, I want to be the embodied immortal being, the mortal immortal being, that I get the idea, the spiritual immortal being.
So what you're talking about is the thing you want to be is totally opposite to everything that religion says, every religion, and everything that Buddhism says. Entirely. The question is, are you really willing to say that that's what you really want to be? My next question would be, allow me this. If you couldn't be an embodied immortal being, can you conceive of anything more, better, greater than that you would truly be, truly desire to be? Now, that put Jim's mind to work. Well, I'll think about that.
That's absolutely clear, but there's a bit here that I'd like to talk about in the image that I'm creating for myself. Is that in the an immortal being embodying and taking on mortality as well.
Whoa, wait a minute. Never said that. An immortal being does not necessarily take on mortality as well.
It certainly experiences mortality.
No. For instance, let me give you an example of this.
Okay.
And I just pulled this off of listening to Degrassi my favorite scientist, or he's an astrophysicist, yeah. If it is said, as Einstein's general theory of relativity says, that anything that travels at the speed of light, there is no time, then anything that travels at the speed of light, there is no existence. Does anything travel at the speed of light? Well, I guess it does. Light travels at the speed of light, and therefore the minute that a light photon is emitted for the light, it no longer exists. If I'm on the outside watching that emitted photon of light, it still exists for me, but not for the photon. Now, put those two together and consider, is there any way then that duality, which is not an opposition or a dichotomy in that regard, that can give you anything to work with, to consider? How can...
Well, actually, it actually confused me a bit, and I'll tell you about the confusion. I brought something else into it that, given what you just said then, is it possible that dark matter in the universe coming into light no longer exists?
But you've just changed the whole concept in that regard. Dark matter coming into the light is different than light emitting.
That's why I asked. Is it possible?
Well, I don't know. Well, then, why don't you really look at that and say, is it possible? Because we now present a whole different issue here. If we go back and say 96% of the mass in the universe is dark matter, dark energy, which I call dark matter one word rather than the longer form, and only 4% or 95.5% whatever is light matter, is it possible then that what you know of yourself today is really only at best 5% of you, and that 95% of you is dark matter that you know or allow yourself to know very little about? Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
So when I say you, can I mean something like dark matter you, light matter you? Could I be saying something like mortal you and immortal you? Or could I be saying something like, you are an immortal being, sometimes in the dark and sometimes in the light? What would you choose? What will get you out of the habit of your beliefs, which, by the way, are only your loner body beliefs, and have never really served you? Yet you hang on to those. I'm giving you, trying to give you something new and different and other to work with. And say, okay, that's silly putty. Now work with it and see what you can come up with.
Yeah, I'd like to make a declarative statement here, and that is that you have most definitely introduced a thought, an idea, a concept here that is totally new to me. I've never heard it ever before and never conceived of it myself ever before, and I'm having a hell of a lot of fun working with it and just working out for me, what do I want that to be then? How do I want that to be
for me. And I'm having a great time.
Well, wait a minute. The whole purpose of this, from the get-go, maybe up until 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were holding all of this as an exercise of fun and pleasure while you lived your beliefs and ways of life as usual. Are you now telling me that, gee, this is so fun, I might even consider living this shit?
You know what? Yes.
Well, maybe we're getting somewhere. It's been a long struggle, but maybe we're getting... That's the point. What... Instead of something that we talk about over a beer and pizza, it could be something that we live while we're having beer and pizza.
Is the pizza there yet? It's 10-2.
It's in the oven. It's coming out now.
I just ruined it. Came out.
But you don't get any. It's deep dish delicious pizza.
Fabulous. Now, actually, Roger, the last 2 weeks have been absolutely fantastic. Karen and I talk about it on our walks together, and it's a whole bunch of, well, that what if that's true, and then what does that mean, and what about
But wait a minute, don't hang on too long to what if, and what if to this is the way it is for you.
But yes.
And if it does, and if it is that way for anybody else, that's their loss.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a point, the what if is merely a transition from, that allows you to go from, well, this is the way religion says it is and science confirms that, to this is the way I say it is and it works for me.
Absolutely.
So my question is it possible, instead of looking at what you can do or be and how you can live in life, that you can look at your life by saying, hey, this is what I do, and ain't nobody out there that can tell, nobody, not even the universe, that can tell me I can't do this. And find out then that there isn't anybody or anything that will tell you you can't do that.
And that last little bit you're talking about is exactly what's been going through my head the last couple of days, and that's exciting and exhilarating, that in fact there is nothing, nowhere, that says that I can't do it.
But then doesn't that one statement change everything?
It is. And since I also believe that I'll tend to live habits, that's the habit I want to live.
Okay. After all, if the beliefs are only habits, you get to choose what habits you want to live.
Exactly. It's a state, and that's the one I want.
Okay.
That's the one I am.
But you have to live it.
Yes.
It doesn't do any good to continue talking about it and not live it, because the universe confirms only what you are doing or living, not what you're talking about.
Yes. Right.
And as long as we got Jonathan on the phone, but he won't remember this individual because this is really before Jonathan's time, but I'm going to talk about a woman in our Fairbanks group even before Jonathan. What? and she was being treated for cancer. And after about a year of treatment, she was shown to be symptom-free. But of course, that wasn't really the end of all of her treatments. She had to be constantly tested for a while, every 6 months or so. And she couldn't even be considered cancer-free unless she was no symptoms for 5 to 7 years. So she kept coming to the group and all of that, and each 6 months, and then later on every year, she'd go have her checkup, and in that then she'd tell us, well, she got a clean bill of health. But of course the doctors were only willing to tell her that she hadn't necessarily survived cancer. They wouldn't consider that until after 7 years or so. So as a consequence of all of that, she had all those checkups, and we always waited to hear the results. 1 year after her annual checkup, she came to our meeting looking pretty tentatively, pretty glum, sad. And the group expected bad news. How was your test? Everybody asked, sort of tentatively, because they all expected a real crummy answer. What did the doctors say? They said. They said the cancer hadn't returned. And they called me cancer-free. A cancer survivor, she announced rather sadly. So what's wrong? That sounds great. That's great news. Well, she began, you know, until now, I've been living 1 year at a time, with very little likelihood of living longer than that 1 year. Now I have to consider I'll probably have or live another 30 or 40 years. What the hell am I going to do? What will my life be about for the next 30 or 40 years? And what if I live even longer than that? So my question to you is, all this struggle in some way or other about an immortal being, anything like this gal's struggle, like saying, hell, I don't know what to do with the life I've got now, and you're telling me I'm an immortal being, and therefore that I have to, what the hell would I do immortally? Is there any possible part of that involved? Thank you.
Very interesting.
Has it ever occurred to you, that problem?
Oh, yeah.
And your answer is? Was? Will be?
Answer is,
I'm screwed. Can't figure out what to do now. What am I going to figure out to do forever?
See, it's so simple that we come up with, and so devastating in that.
Well, you know, the
you have to carry on the conversation, Andrew. I've got pizza in front of me. I'm going to go get another. You want another beer? Okay, you're going to get another beer. If I start falling apart, it's because I'm going to have another beer.
Well, I was just going to say, it's an interesting thing you said, because being raised Catholic, the mindset that I had for a long time was, you know, when we just get to the end of life and then you get to heaven or whatever, that's it. There's nothing else to do. And I guess I sat a lot of my life on that conclusion or something.
So you could...
So when you bring up...
You could maybe live out 70 or 80 years doing the best you could, and then screw it, that's it. But now all of a sudden, if we start talking about an immortal being, and you won't think other than immortality, what if that actually scares the wee-wee out of you?
Well, I think I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about this in terms of Pat, of being an immortal mortal being, then what? If that's going to happen, then you can't say, well, I guess it doesn't really matter. You have to consider, or start considering, the long view of yourself in life.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
well, you know, the very thought of doing the same thing immortally is not exactly attractive. That's, to me, that's awfully limiting. And then depending on the you that you're talking to and you're asking the question of, maybe Patrick is as vestiges of wanting to continue forever, but then I pause and think, why would I want to continue this forever? But from an immortal being, the immortal being you, doesn't various lifetimes give an opportunity to try out all kinds of combinations and variations of the basic self that the immortal being is.
So then an immortal being doesn't live a single, if you're an immortal, and as we've talked about this, it does not mean that you live a single life immortally.
That's correct.
But wait a minute. Religion defines God as immortally unchanging.
What a bore.
Yep.
And you have that in your mind, and I'm saying we can't even begin to talk about the possibilities if you won't get that out of your mind, because like Patrick just said, even if you finally said, okay, I'm an immortal being, that doesn't sound very desirable.
If it's same old forever.
You what?
Right, but I was...
If it's the same old forever, that's not very desirable.
But as you were talking, Pat, I was getting this image of... I was giving myself this image of...
This is good.
Meaning that you would be a different, you know, being in each life, and that's rather refreshing sounding.
Yes,
that's how. Yeah.
What if? Listen very carefully. What if that is the only true image and awareness of you?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that, please?
What you just described about his being an immortal being, but not in that living constantly only one life, that you can live infinite lives.
Yeah, you know, what if that's the only true image of you? Definitely willing to consider that.
What?
What if it is?
Wait a minute.
I said I'm willing to... What?
Huh?
I don't know. I said I'm definitely willing to consider that.
What is the definition of eternal that I've been talking about for a long, long time?
Eternal, as you've talked about it for a long time, is... something which recurs again and again.
Well, why are you then only now willing to consider that immortal is recurring.
I think a couple of things fell in place. You know, it's like as I'm listening to somebody else talk, like Patrick talk, a couple of things fell in place, and I was picturing what you had said weeks or months, maybe a month or two ago, about being like a saga, but each being is a brand new, fresh being. And I don't know, somehow that seems all fit for me. And
that's what I tried. That's why we came up the ladder in terms of eternal. If I couldn't get you to understand eternal in that way, I could hardly even begin to approach getting you to understand immortal in that way. There is nothing about the word immortal except, and in fact, it's not even as good as abiding. Abiding has no beginning and ending, and immortal goes on or continues, has a beginning but no ending.
Yeah, right.
So
I think maybe I finally understood why, or the important part that in Emprise or Saga plays in what I am.
Why?
Because it gives a sense or an awareness of some kind of grander, bigger nest than just the particularization that I'm living now.
Wait a
and
minute.
I can live that in many. Yep.
What's the difference between light as a wave and light as a particle?
How it represents itself, presents itself. One is a wave, is a undefined, maybe invisible. As a particle, you see a particular bright spot or something like that.
Can you consider that a particle is a life, like every moment?
It's physical.
And the wave,
yeah, like
and the wave aspect only ties it together, which makes you think it is continuous, but it really actually discontinuous. But the wave holds it together to give you that real sense of continuousness.
So it is a discontinuous thing with a continuous, the property of continuousness.
Oh, okay. Now could you consider that is true of the same of immortal? Because now we've said it's not continuous of the same thing, it's recurring. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, if you wanted to be aware of that, is it possible then that an emprise functions like the wave function of light to tie that recurring together?
Yeah, yeah. So the funny thing about the emprise, though, is that I must, what, create it, name it, give it to myself in order to be aware of that wave property.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get rid of the word must. Why do you impose must on yourself? The universe says, you can do this anytime, any place, in any lifetime, and by any choice, because I'm not going to restrict any emprise to you or from you.
Well, sure. What I meant by must is...
No backing up and changing. Once you've used the word must, I have the right to attack the word must. So that you then, I want you to put this, and I don't want to listen to your justifications. I want you to use the language of your own authority. And there's no, you can use the word must because you've chosen it, but it has to be of your authority, and you weren't using the must in that way.
Okay, well, here's my question then, going kind of a reverse at that. If I never give myself an emprise, do I experience that wave?
I never said the Enterprise was the only way. I even have not really gotten into it beyond a certain point, but to say, this is my way, this is what I have done, this is my illustration. If it works for me, it can work for you. But you can also take the fundamental information and do it differently.
Okay, wow, that just totally changes everything.
All I want to prove is if it can ever be done once, then it's doable. And nothing says in that it's only doable in that way. The likelihood it is infinitely doable. But I only have to show you one right white crow.
Yeah, that makes more sense with everything else you ever said. Okay. God, yeah.
And that means then like a particle which is ever different of a light, which is tied together by a wave, can experience itself as a photon, and yet ever different in every moment. Is that okay?
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then are you willing to give yourself? Now we're looking here now about going back about 8 or 9 years. I can look it up because I've got it. The time I first brought up this particle wave concept, maybe even longer than that. And
right.
So, is it possible then if we just what if then?
Okay.
That there is a particle you and a wave you. That there is an immortal you and a mortal you.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. And
by that you don't mean that wave is actually continuous. You mean it only has an appearance or an experience of something like that.
What it does is tie discontinuous. Particles are discontinuous. The wave aspect only ties those together in such a way that light can act either as a particle or a wave. Then you can feel and sense yourself both as a particle, which then is immortal. And a wave, which then it gives you a sense of immortality. My question is, isn't that the same as physical, spiritual? Only religion has said that spiritual is all, and all I'm saying is, it's just only part of you that gives you a feeling or sense of yourself in one way, but that allows you then to live both parts and aspect of yourself.
Yeah, and when I leave the particle, I can experience the wave only in looking back.
In what?
Is that correct? In looking back.
No, I'm saying that's the point, that in doing this, you can always experience yourself both as a wave and a particle, but think of it this way. You could experience yourself as the two together, as an immortal mortal being.
Yeah, wow.
So it's actually a cooperation of the two.
Communion of the two.
Oh,
So they're not set one against the other, which deteriorates or we'll allow that, deteriorates both, but it is a communion of both which tremendously enhances each.
First time I think I'm actually hearing this in a way that this really kind of is everything I wanted.
Okay.
Like, I mean, past that it'd be a drag to be the same whatever entity all along.
Is it at all possible for you to think, well, you know, maybe I've always sensed this, or I've known myself as an immortal being, and then want to lose that? And that conflict is the source of your pains, problems, and afflictions in your life, and the difficulties and other things that you experience in your life. Is that conflict alone is what's going on?
Yeah, very well could be. Now is like a way I could see I get to live both right now all the time, not one now and hopefully one later.
Then is it possible, Russ, to say, when people talk about live your true self, live your spiritual self, be on the spiritual path, that two things are going. It isn't a true self as opposed, it's the true self that is complete within the communion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one or the other is truly incomplete.
So, if that's true, then religion, like leading a spiritual life in that regard, as opposed to a physical life, divides you and exacerbates your problems.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how might that have gotten started? Just surmise. Come on, what if?
The dichotomy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Separation,
yeah. Yeah. No idea?
I do have an idea. How about in language we tend to go to a thing is either this or that. It's either yes or no.
Okay.
And so when we were considering the two aspects. Something as a two-ness, it became an opposition of either this or that.
My next question is, what might have exacerbated that problem in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd be guessing if I said like other things, so I don't think about it.
So why? We're playing what ifs. What if it? Start a sentence. What if it is?
What if faced with death and having a sense of immortality, the fact of death was in deep conflict with that notion of immortality.
Why might that be? Talk to me about being a 12-year-old, not one facing death.
Well, it, even the 12, it's because that for a 12-year-old, it would become apparent that there are beginnings and endings, or that what they think would be beginnings and endings, or for most definitely endings, and that there's a desire to stave off the ending, even if it's I don't want to lose my parents or my brother or my friend.
Give me another brother. What if it's the death?
What if it's a death?
No, I said, what if it to death?
Oh, what if it to death?
Give me some more stuff. We'll just carry this stuff in our old kit bag and give us some more suggestions.
What if somebody wanted to have authority over somebody else? Began to talk about having answers that nobody else has, and were bold enough to say their answers were true. What if there were cycles of nature with large predator animals that were a danger and needed to be dealt with, and that it seems to me that there would be a desire to protect against that kind of ending.
The judgment of good and bad, that all things have a good bad nature, and so I looked at what pain, suffering of the physical body is bad, death is bad, life is good, the mortal body with life is good, so
money good.
Dichotomy going.
All right, let me give you an explanation. Is there anything in the universe that is more self-evident than your parents made your body, not you? If there is, I want you to tell me what there is that is more self-evident than that.
No, that's pretty self-evident. That's the way it works.
So, if instead of basing my beliefs or life or understandings merely on habit of thought, what if I based my, like forever living, concepts only on that which is self-evidentingly so, and followed then a continuous pattern of stepping stones from one thing that is self-evidentingly so to another, as opposed to those philosophers, teachers, understanders, religionists, whatever, who have an agenda and their truths are only words. If I say to you that you're living a loner body because your parents made your body, can you create an image of that that is indisputable?
Yes.
Could you then begin creating a life based on that and tie everything together that we've said in a way that it's indisputable?
I certainly think so, yep.
Well, that's what I'm doing with Forever Living. I'm only looking for those things, if I have a problem or something to consider. I'm only looking for those things to tie together that are, in themselves, indisputable because they tie to, let's allow this, loner body. You can say that everything ties to the Big Bang. There is no proof of that. There's no showing of a Big Bang. So all of a science is fundamentally, your guess is as good as mine. All of religion is based on, in the beginning, God created. There's no showing of that. You cannot demonstrate that at all. But there is no way that you can disprove that your parents made your body. Are you willing to stand on that and build from that position or that degree of certainty for yourself from that place?
Yes, yes.
If you do, you'll soon discover that what you do and what you live is unassailable. I don't care what you say. I've been asked to give two talks. One is kind of like a mini gathering. Susan offered her a new house that she's just renovated, and
the church? Wow.
And I said I didn't want to do that. Then I have another one at the church. I haven't answered the letter yet, but I'm really seriously not. But if you take everything we've talked about for the last 20 years, that's a pile of crap. But if I start with loner body, you can't dispute that. So how would you like to start with loner body and take the pieces and parts that we've talked about, personal self, personal body, eternal self, etc., and put those pieces together, string them together, we'll call it that, make a layout of them, I don't care, string of pearls, we'll follow Hinduism. Only those things of that nature that are completely indisputable. What kind of body and life do you suppose that you would construct? Everything else, right off, you would find, like language and beliefs and teachings. Well, I believe this, and I believe that. Has no foundation stronger than my parents created my body. Oh, Descartes. Oh, how can I say that I exist? What would be the most important thing that I could say? Oh, let me see. I think, therefore, I exist. How about, my parents made my body, therefore I exist. But you then exist in a whole different way that you can begin talking about. Because you could say, I think, therefore I exist, but I don't know anything about me. The minute you say, my parents made my body, therefore I exist, and I know a whole hell of a lot about what I am living, would you like to know more about the self that's living that? Is a valid question. And is there then a way, let me see, is it possible then for you to understand the self you are living and or struggling against from that beginning?
Yes.
come on, guys, there's got to be somebody out there that's willing to speak up. You were already willing to jump on being an immortal, mortal being. So jump on this.
I guess I'm going to have to catch up here with myself. I never. Your proposal is interesting because you sound like you're saying that everything can be based on the loner body start as a starting point, and it all builds from there.
Well, it can be. That is a strong. Nobody can challenge that foundational basis for you and your existence, can they?
I guess not. Did you say also at the start of that line of discussion that you said everything that we in this group had talked like for the last 20 years before was a pile of crap because you can't demonstrate it or anything like that, pat flies, etc.?
No, I said everything of forever living is founded on that. I've never left that concept when I talk about personal self, eternal self, or thinking thoughts and ideas and relationships to the universe. The whole damn thing is based on, rather than like religion that says, based on God, based on love and compassion, it's based on good and evil, right and wrong. No, there's one unassailable in your life. Not you, but that your parents made your body, and in that then, because of DNA, we now know that the self you're living, your parents made, and the beliefs that you started with, that you have continued, your parents made. It's like I said, the universe is satisfied, or the world is satisfied, because if you're a lion cub, you want to carry on a lioness, the nature of what your mother has learned. She wants to give that to you. Your lion father wants to do the same thing, so that you have then the lion nature of yourself. But as a sentient being, that's not necessary in your life today.
Do you want to continue that?
So the question
that's
is right
the
there.
The big difference between lions and us.
That's right. You can still look like a lion or look like Jim Webb, but yet be and live an entirely different individual. So that's the first step away from my parents unassailably created my body and self. You didn't create your beginning self either. You didn't create your beginning beliefs either. You were given beliefs. Well, if we go along with this in this way, and that you're being an immortal, mortal being, and that you're aware of all of these things, then there must be a way in which, and don't give me the crap shit of the 70s, there must be a way in which you can carry on your beliefs regardless of the body, self, and life that was given to you by your mother.
Well, I like the like what you're saying here. That
I can't hear you at all.
You can't hear me at all? I'm right on the phone. Wow.
Well, you're loud. It's not.
Okay.
It's better.
Yeah, okay. It's not coming through. That's fine. So I say I like this unassailability or this certainty that you're proposing here. I would love personally to start my life, live my life with such a strong basis.
That's the point. Why go back to Genesis in the Bible and say, in the beginning God created? They don't mean a shit to you. And or the Big Bang. In the beginning there was this loud noise. We don't even know that that occurred as a loud noise, or any of that means nothing to you. The only thing that means anything to you as a jump off, or a jump beginning, or a foundation, is your parents created a body and loaned it to you. Nothing else matters. And now, because we know of genes and DNA and et cetera, we now can say, like my kids, they all started off with a personality. Hell, they were themselves when they came out. Of course, I don't know, because I wasn't allowed, those days we weren't allowed to deliver. But you know them right off. And so the question is, nobody can dispute that. And that's the foundation then. You don't have to go back to the beginning of the earth or the whatever. But then you can build the whole case for yourself based on that.
On the beginning of your awareness.
And if you can build a case for that beginning of awareness, the question then is, which you can do, is it possible for you to build an unassailable case based on immortal awareness? And is there anything other than that that you want or even give a shit about?
I guess not.
I guess we don't have anything to talk about. Would anybody like to talk about that at all?
Yeah, well, I just want to first clarify the pieces that is my image, make sure this is, and when you talk about the loner body, my parents created, I exist because my parents created my loner body. Is that?
I didn't hear that. I missed something. I was adjusting my papers and didn't pay enough attention.
Okay. I said was the statement that I exist because my parents created.
Never said that.
My body.
I didn't say that. Never said that.
Okay,
the only thing I said was that's unassailable is that your parents created your body, and now because of genes we can say your body, yourself. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. Wait a minute. Hold on there. If your parents created your body, and along because of DNA and genes came yourself, and along with that then came your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotion, words, and action. And we can say in that then, well, those things came along, but they ain't you. But if they came along, isn't it then possible in the universe that something would allow you to then continue yourself? If your body is the continuation of your ancestors, and that's a obviously doable, ordinary, why, sure, that's what occurs, then continuing yourself as an immortal being should be no different than, well, yeah, sure, that's what occurs. And all of that's been denied you because of language, religion, and science.
Right.
Is that okay for you, Patrick? I guess it's okay somehow for Andrew.
Yes,
well,
yes,
very.
I'd like to go back to the unassailable fact of my parents created my body for me, and the DNA and genes and all that gave me the all the wherewithal for a starter personality and all that kind of good stuff and all the. Now, it's I can make an argument for myself that there must be a parallel for the immortal self.
Wait a minute. Can you do something better than I can make an argument?
That's a very good point. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. There's an equivalence.
There you go.
The universe is a cheapo. It doesn't waste energy. So what it does in one area or one way, it repeats that. He didn't have to do it everything in some other different way. The universe only reacts, and once it reacts, it keeps reacting in that way. So if I can demonstrate that that is true, then I'm willing to absolutely accept from that that there is a way in of the same ilk to create forward as now making an immortal mortal being.
Yes.
The point of that is that once you, it doesn't have to be proved first that you can do it. It has to be so, allows you then to do that and live that and experience that and know then that it is so.
Well, I'm really glad you're showing me these pieces you've been giving me all along, because I mean, that's just very helpful to realize these unassailable basis parts.
Didn't I tell you one time, 17 years ago, find one frigging white crow in what I say to you and I'll start all over again?
Mm-hmm, you do.
So what I've tried to
I think what you said yesterday that I really enjoyed, as I recall what you said, what I think you said yesterday.
Well, wait a minute, we have a witness here. No matter what you say, Jim is he's here too.
Yeah. Well, let's see, if I understand that forever living is based on, is there a process in the universe that we can look at, talk about, and understand? You understand? I can't even quote you, so never mind. All this is based on something in the universe, though.
But then can I look at the process of DNA and parents creating body? Is it possible that that is a fundamental process of the universe?
Yes.
Well,
but something there
you,
that we can't... Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Something that we actually can't look at or talk about is the religion's idea of immortality. There's nothing in the universe...
We don't care about what religion says because it has no foundation whatsoever. If we start with the unassailable process of your parents made your body and we know DNA, we can also say that process may involve other things that we haven't considered yet, but it's unassailable that we can consider that process as, for you, an unassailable process of your life.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
It sure is. It sure is.
And once you do that and you spend some time at that, then, and maybe I hate to bring this up to you, your life and body and all of that, your beliefs, are unassailable. Is that okay?
Wow. Yeah.
Is it okay then that you don't have to defend them?
Hmm. Yes.
Because the minute you defend them, you destroyed them as facts in your life and made them doubts in your life.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, the point is, you say these things are okay, but can you take these things that I'm talking about and with Karen or Sally or Hugo or whatever, whomever, can you create then not a life of beliefs which are habitual, but that is a life based on beliefs that are unassailable? Well, then let me ask you this question. If you created such a life for yourself, what do you have to give up? Anything?
No.
And you see, that's been your struggle. If I ask you to change or do something, you won't let go of your habits. All I'm doing is say, go back and reconstruct everything from this beginning. You don't really have to go back to the beginning of the earth, but once you create this foundation for yourself, then you can go back and reconstruct all these other things, and that's okay, because anything you discover or find, etc., will in fact only, wait a minute, that has to be true, doesn't it? That has to be correct relative to this unassailable beginning.
Built your house on a rock.
Is that okay?
What was that, Jim?
Build your house on a rock.
Wow.
Well, that's all I had for tonight. Well, I have piles of stuff sitting here. And I could sit up here and piss and moan for a while.
Talk about this.
Is that okay?
That's really, really great. I really, really miss not having a deep dish pizza, though.
Without having a what?
Deep dish pizza.
Well, I certainly didn't save anything for you.
But so it'll be cold by the time you get here.
So let me ask another thing. One last question, then. If the universe only reacts, and I could give you how we got from this foundation to the universe only relaxed. Is it possible then that if you live this life, the universe will only react to confirm this life, and that's who you are? So there too.
Unavailable.
Yes, quite possible. Yes.
But you see, in that, you can't say, prove it to me first, and I say to you, live it, and you will prove it to yourself. Okay.
Alright.
Night for now.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for mentioning all this stuff tonight.
Well, say all the woes for Jonathan, who has to live in Anchorage. It's colder than shit, probably. Bye now. Bye, Jonathan. Bye, everybody.